that the squatter felt so entitled to rent out the room, knowing well that someone else is paying for utilities. That's really messed up. That's all I'm gonna say. It just seems like no heart from the squatter, no heart from the person who sold me anything, no heart from my neighbors or friends or anybody or family that, like, I'm living close to. Nothing. Nothing. And now... Welcome to the Backyards Convos. I'm Khadija. It is St. Patrick's Day today, and I'm so excited for all the green. Yesterday, me and Shandor went out to a concert. And speaking of Shandor, he's not going to be on this episode because he's not feeling so well. But either way, I'll still, like, give you the Studden Bay rundown. Before I do, I kind of want to jump into, like, what we did yesterday, which was really fun. We went to a festival. We saw performers. We drank some food. We drank some drinks, ate some food, and just got a tan all day yesterday, which was so fun and great. Got back really late, had some food, relaxed, just kind of slept afterwards, which was really, really good. But I do still want to do a Studden Bay topic, and then I also want to talk about, like, some predictions that I want to, like, just get your opinion on. So today we're going to talk about Studden Bay. There's this couple who bought a $2 million home with a squatter inside. So there's a Business Insider article. A couple bought $2 million home in New York, occupied by a squatter who found a loophole in the law and won't leave. Just by the title, I'm just like, damn, a $2 million home and then someone's living in there? Damn, is there any way I can get my money back, like, quickly or what? Because no way you're catching me spending $2 million and someone's living in there. But anyways, so a couple purchased a $2 million home. They thought they wanted to be surrounded by their family and their son who has Down syndrome. My first bell that goes off in this story is, like, if I want to be close to my family, how come my family didn't tell me there's someone living there? Clearly, if you're living nearby, you, even if you don't know the neighbors, you kind of have an idea, like, what's semi going on. Like, how come you didn't tell me, hey, there's someone living in the home I just bought? And also, did you not do, like, a house tour? Like, did you not inspect the house? I mean, you're not going to ask the realtor, like, hey, is there someone living in my house? But you could do a house tour. But also, shame on the family members that you're moving near to that didn't even give you, like, a heads up and be like, hey, yeah, there's people living in your house. You probably shouldn't buy, or you should be aware of this. Like, what the heck? Especially if you're moving to be close to your family. Anyways, so the story continues. So they're going through a legal battle between the couple, Studden Bay, and the squatter. So, let's see. Which began, like, almost a whole year ago. It's crazy to think about that. But apparently, the squatter lived in the house, and he was refusing to, like, leave. It's been, like, 5 months since this happened. And the squatter, what happened was he was living there with the previous owner who he took care of until he passed away in 2023. And because he was living there, he actually can stay there once after 30 days. He's considered, like, a temporary tenant. So what happened is, it's a 3-bedroom, 4-bath home that used to belong to somebody. And then the squatter that's living there was making at least $3,000 a week. And he was taking care of the old home, the old owner. And then after the owner passed away, the squatter stayed there after he passed away. And it was sold to Studen Bay by someone else. So wild. Also, like, the person who sold it to Studen Bay is messed up, because you had to have some idea. You had to have some idea that this guy was living there. You couldn't give them a heads up, like, hey, I know you want to try to sell the house and get rid of it as soon as possible, which is understandable. But don't you have a conscience? Don't you have a feeling of, like, ah, oh, damn, maybe I should be a nice person. These people are buying a house for $2 million. Maybe I should reduce the price. Maybe I should tell them so they're aware and they're not, like, confused. Like, this is just messed up all the way around. Like, you're not telling them, and then you're also just letting them buy a $2 million house. Like, that's an expensive home to not be living in. To be paying for somebody else, first off. But anyways, I digress. So, since the squatter was still living there during the time of the purchase, of before the purchase of the house, Studen Bay can't force him out of the home, unfortunately. Like, they can't just force him, hey, you gotta get out. But Studen Bay did try to tell him to leave. He had 10 days to leave, and he still wasn't leaving. So, Studen Bay went to court, and they're dealing with this, trying to get the squatter out. And technically, it got worse. When you think it couldn't get worse, it got worse. So, pretty much, after they went to court, the squatter came with Studen Bay. They're inside the court office. And because he was living there for 30 days, he's considered a tenant and was granted temporary rights. So, they're in court. And then, technically, the squatter also files for bankruptcy midway through the whole process, and this has been going on for 5 months. So Studen Bay has purchased a house for $2 million, has not lived there, and is paying what are they paying again? They're paying utilities on a place they're not living there. So he filed for bankruptcy, the squatters filed for bankruptcy, and now it's delaying the process of getting him out, evicted from the house that he's in currently, until the bankruptcy has been, like, completely done. The thing is also really just messed up is that he's not paying any lease, he's not paying for rent, and actually the even funnier part about this is the squatter is renting out the home to people. He's renting out rooms for $50 a night. Crazy. Literally insane. So the squatter is not only in there, living there, not paying for utility, doesn't own the home, but he's also able to rent out the property, rent out the rooms, and he's getting paid, and the people who purchased the home is now paying for the utility for not only the squatter, but the people who rent the home. So that could be like thousands of dollars. We have no clue. Obviously, if you rent out a place, you're not going to care because you're not paying for any of the stuff. You're not paying for the electricity, you're not paying for the water bill, you're not paying for any other bills. Someone else is paying it for you, so, like, you don't care. Rack it up. Why not? Like, you know, like, wild. But then it gets worse. Again, you think that, okay, all right, you can handle, you purchase a house, there's a squatter. That's bad. Oh, wait, the squatter actually has rights and he's not leaving. Oh, shit, it got worse. Oh, but then also, not only did he's not leaving, he's also renting the rooms out that he's staying in. And then also on top of that, he filed for bankruptcy in the middle of the thing. And now he's also countersuing the couple. He's now countersuing Studen Bay for harassment. At that point, I'm just trying to figure out, is there any way I could possibly get my money back? Is there any way, like, what can I do to get out of this deal? What can I do? What is my, like, rights as a person who owns the home now? What can I do? Because this is just wild. Because now the squatter is suing Studen Bay for harassment, and now it's just an all way messed up thing. It's going to be at least a couple more months to figure everything out. And Studen Bay had security, and that's the reason why he's filing, countersuing for harassment because he feels like he's being harassed. Let's get to know the squatter. Not that he really matters, but let's just get to know him. So the squatter has a wife. We don't know if she's living with him, and he also has a kid. We also know that the squatter has, you know, caused harm to his wife. Don't know if they're living together, but there is sources saying that the squatter has a baby who is on a ventilator. I forgot to mention that Steady Bay also has a kid who has Down syndrome. So there's a lot of things wrapped up. You got a kid who has Down syndrome, and you got a baby who needs a ventilator. Crazy, wild story. So this is still going on. We don't know what is this expected, but there's supposed to be a hearing sometime in April. So I might give you guys an update on what happened. But at the same time, I'm still shocked. Like, I just bought a $2 million home that I'm not living in, has a squatter in, just filed for bankruptcy, has a baby, is countersuing me, and I can't do anything about it. Not a single thing about it. Like, what? What in the world? This story is wild. But I also feel like my family, if I'm moving close to being near family, like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you give me a heads up? Why didn't the people that sell my house give me a heads up? You know, how come I didn't get to do a house tour? You know, like, I would have been felt so jipped, so, like, played. Like, no one around me, like, told me, gave me any heads up. None of that thing. Nothing. Literally, just let me buy a home for $2 million. It wasn't even half off or anything like that. I literally, unless maybe $2 million was the half price. But either way, like, that is not money that you can just make back from working, you know, one day at your job. That is money that takes time to build up. And the fact that I spent $2 million and this is what I'm going through and the courts are not, like, on my side or even giving me anything I could do would make me feel very played. Like, I would have to go back and think to myself, what the heck did I do to for this to happen? Because this is just a wild story. And I got a kid with Down syndrome, and I gotta, like, take care of the kid, and, you know, like, they have extra needs you gotta take care of, and all that stuff. But, and the fact that the squatter felt so entitled to rent out the room, knowing well that someone else is paying for utilities, that's really messed up. That's all I'm gonna say. It just seems like no heart from the squatter, no heart from the person who sold me anything, no heart from my neighbors or friends or anybody or family that, like, I'm living close to. Nothing. Nothing. And now I hope that Studen Bay actually has another home, is what I'm assuming, that, like, if you're going to buy a $2 million home, you probably, you know, have enough money to buy it twice. It's just one of my assumption is, like, if you buy something, you can buy it twice. So I'm assuming they probably have another property that they're probably staying at, which is making it much easier. Or they might be staying with a family member that actually live close by. But either way, that is a story that I will keep you guys updated on. And it's still kind of messed up that they're going through all that. But if I was either one of the person in the relationship, I would personally feel, you know, feel played. And I also feel like, as my partner, I feel like us going I feel like my partner and I going through that, I feel like we'd grow stronger in a relationship. I feel like this should make us stronger, because, you know, if we have a kid that has special needs and we have to take care of them, that also poses a lot of, like, stress on the relationship. And I feel like if we can overcome that on top of also going through legal fees, if we can get through it, I think that will hopefully make us stronger. But who knows? So yeah, that was Studen Bay story. I have a question that I kind of want to figure out. It's more of, like, for a future, like a prediction of, like, how technology is going to be interplaying with relationships and dating and how it's going to be working. Because we had an episode where we talked about, are people going to be dating robots? Are people going to still be dating in the future? And there's studies actually showing that people are no longer like doing the online thing. They prefer to go and meet people in real life, in real time, at events and like doing things rather than meeting people online, which makes a lot of sense because there's so many stories. There was a story recently that a lady on TikTok met a guy online and had a 50-part series how she found out who he really was and all that stuff. And so I think a lot of people are getting away from like meeting people online and trying to meet people in person, face to face, how it used to be back in the day. So I think people are still going to be dating the regular way. I don't think robots, you know, I mean, it could be. Wouldn't know how far in the future people would may or want or even have crossed the minor possibility of dating a robot, but it could be a possibility. But I kind of like things that are like kind of prediction or just topics that like kind of like make you think. And I feel like this question here that I want to ask is, do you think ChatGPT can help fix relationship problems? Like, people go through relationship problems all the time, and my thing is, do you think ChatGPT can scour the internet and help people who have problems that they're going through in their relationship, and could it help? Because if you guys don't know what ChatGPT is, it's pretty much a software that you can pretty much ask it to help you with things, like if you are making music, or if you need help with an essay, or if you just want help with like anything, you can ask it to help you in some way. And a lot of times it can, let's see, if you have a question about something, they can scour the internet for that. And what it's doing, it's learning and it's being able to give you insights on things. So it's really cool. I tried it one time. I was trying to make like a poem and I was asking it for help. I disconnected it completely, but I kind of want to know. I kind of question to think how far AI is going to go and how it's going to be interrelated in relationships, and can it fix or help relationship problems? You know, people go to marriage counseling and therapists, which is great, and sometimes people just try to fix their problems by trying to communicate. And I also feel like in the men and women relationships, I also feel like sometimes there's always that disconnect. I feel like, you know, the way that women communicate and the way that men communicate are sometimes very different, and they don't kind of overlap, and it takes a little bit of time to get to the point to understand like what the person's saying, you know. And I'm thinking maybe ChatGPT can be that intermediate, like help mediator between the two, and help figure out what each other's saying, and help relationship problems. So maybe there'll be less like divorce rates or less breakups. Like, hey, ChatGPT, my girlfriend is giving me an attitude today. Oh, my girlfriend seems kind of annoyed today, and I'm not quite sure what could be causing her to be upset. ChatGPT could be like, huh, do you know if she's hungry? Do you know if, have you thought about in the last 5 days or 10 days? Have you done anything that might have upset her? Or did you forget about anything? Any special anniversaries coming up? Have you forgotten anything? Or even for women, we can be like, ChatGPT, my husband's kind of being distant from me, or my boyfriend's being distant from me today. You know, what are the reasons why they're being distant? And could like ChatGPT like scour the internet for reasons and be like, oh, he just wants to be alone with his thoughts, or he just wants to disconnect from all of the, he's overstimulated, wants to be disconnected. You know what I mean? So could ChatGPT help with relationship problems? That is a question that I kind of feel like, at this current moment, I don't feel like it can, but who knows? You know, AI is really is getting very big and popular. Some of it is a little bit intimidating, not gonna lie, because they're saying that in 2029 that some of the AI is gonna be smarter than a lot of people. And it's kind of cool to see that, like, oh, this is how quickly it's learning and how quickly it's going to be able to do so many different things. But it also makes you feel, well, it makes me feel a little bit insignificant. Not like insignificant, but like, as in, like, I feel like I need to be doing better and more. But you know, I'm happy for AI, like, to be learning and doing different things. And I feel like at this current moment, obviously, ChatGPT probably can't really help with relationship goals, but maybe we don't know how well it's going to be picking up and how well it's going to be learning very quickly. But I think, yeah. And that begs the question also, do you think that would ChatGPT be so good at helping with relationship issues that it eventually takes, you know, it takes the role as a therapist? So instead of people having to go and see people and talk about their problems, their couple, their marital problems, they can go to a computer that will just do it for them, and they don't have to leave their home. They don't have to do a Zoom with anybody. They can just literally say, "Hey, ChatGPT, my such and such and such is happening. Can you tell me what is going on? Can you help me break this down for me? A to Z, whatever, right?" And you know, AI is really doing so well at not only just AI, but even robots just in general are doing so well at doing people's jobs that it is, again, it's intimidating because it's like, dang, I worked so hard. It took me this long to get here. It took me this long to learn this. And the robots and the AIs are doing it much, much quicker. And it's a little bit intimidating. Like, where is your place? Creativity is really probably the biggest, probably push is where we're gonna be going, because like if robots and AI are just getting so much better at things, I can only imagine that like a lot more people are gonna be more in the creative space and just creating more things, which is great because now we're doing more creative things. We're exploring, we're finding different ways, different routes. All that good stuff, which is perfect because it helps your brain go. But at the same time, like if you spent so much time, you know, you spent this many years, 10,000 hours, working on something and then just easily like done by someone else, it's gonna make you feel like, dang, I did all that work for what? What is my reward, you know? And then you have to start all over, which is fine, but at the same time, like, do you really want to start over after doing spending so much time learning something and being so good at something, and I have to do something new? But yeah, I think that ChatGPT at this current moment probably can't predict people's like not predict, but like help people in relationship wise. But we don't know. We don't know. Again, the same thing when it goes back to robots. You know, dating people, dating robots. That also, I don't think anyone is interested in that right now, but we don't know if that is something that is a possibility in the future. We don't know if people want to start dating robots. I personally don't think I'd want to date a robot just because, yeah, I don't think that some the needs are not going to be met. Let's just say that. Let's just say that. We don't know if the needs are going to be met, but yeah, there's levels to being in a relationship. And obviously, you know, there's different types of relationships. And I think a lot of times people, you know, there's obviously the emotional side of relationships. And I think I don't know, a lot of people are like, can a robot invest into you emotionally? You know, if you that need isn't met, there's other needs as well in a relationship that we don't know if a robot can actually meet. There's things that draw people together that sometimes right now a robot can't meet. Let's just be honest. Let's just be real. Like, I think you guys know what I'm talking about. I will not say it, but you guys can use your imagination to figure out what the robot can't meet. Okay? All right. Cool. Great. But yeah, so that's sort of things I just kind of want to talk about and just say, like, you know. Yeah, I don't think ChatGPT can do that. And I think that story about the couple who purchased a $2 million home with a squatter in there, I think that was some blindsided like being played. I think that was kind of foul in every way. Like the people who sold them the house could have told them, your family could have told you. And you could have done a house tour. Things could have just been differently. And also the courts are not doing them any favor. They've got a bunch of different things piled up. It's not just a one time or one thing that's going on, some multiple different types of things going on. But yeah, if you guys like the relationship prediction, let me know in the comments, either in Spotify, Apple, even on YouTube. Let me know if you like that, so that way we can either keep doing that, or if you just love the stories, let us know. Or we can do both. We can do the stories and predictions. Those are both fun things that we both love. But yeah, if you guys enjoyed it, please leave a like. You can follow us on many different platforms, on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio just recently. We're on iHeartRadio, so you can definitely follow us on iHeartRadio. You can go to our Patreon and you can be one of our donors. You can go to our Patreon at thebackyardsconvos.com. Not .com, but backyardsconvos. You can go and follow us on IG, Instagram, at thebackyardsconvos. You can go to our YouTube. Everything, literally, even Reddit, is at thebackyardsconvos. It's not complicated. We're not trying to trick you. Literally, the name of the podcast is in every single form. So, you can go and check us out. Other than that, stay safe, be cool, and see you guys next week. Bye!